Chapter 15. Sense Organs. Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Sensory receptors. Sensory receptors make it possible for the body to respond to stimuli caused by changes occurring in our internal or external environment. A receptor responds to stimuli by converting them to nerve impulses. Different types of receptors respond to different stimuli. The receptor potential is the potential that develops when an adequate stimulus acts on a receptor. It is a graded response. When a threshold is reached, an action potential in the sensory neuron's axon is triggered. Impulses travel over sensory pathways to the brain and spinal cord, where either they are interpreted as a particular sensation or they initiate a reflex action. Adaptation is a functional characteristic of receptors. Receptor potential decreases over time in response to a continuous stimulus, which leads to a decreased rate of impulse conduction and a decreased intensity of sensation. Distributions of receptors exist for special senses of smell, taste, vision, hearing, and equilibrium, and are grouped into localized areas or into complex organs. General sense organs of somatic senses are microscopic receptors widely distributed throughout the body in the skin, mucosa, connective tissue, muscles, tendons, joints, and viscera. Classification of receptors. Receptors are classified by location. Exteroceptors on or near the body surface are often called cutaneous receptors, such as pressure, touch, pain, and temperature. Visceroceptors, or interoceptors, are located internally, often within body organs or viscera. They provide the body with information about internal environment. Examples of visceroceptors are pressure, stretch, chemical changes, hunger, and thirst. Proprioceptors are a special type of visceroceptor. Their location is limited to skeletal muscle, joint capsules, and tendons. They provide information on body movement, orientation in space, and muscle stretch. There are two types, tonic and phasic. Proprioceptors provide positional information on body or body parts while at rest or during movement. Receptors can also be classified by the stimulus they detect. Mechanoreceptors are activated when deformed to generate receptor potential. Chemoreceptors are activated by amount or changing concentration of certain chemicals, such as taste and smell. Thermoreceptors are activated by changes in temperature. Nociceptors are activated by intense stimuli that may damage tissue, such as sensation produced in pain. Photoreceptors are found only in the eye and respond to light stimuli if the intensity is great enough to generate a receptor potential. Osmoreceptors are concentrated in the hypothalamus and activated by changes in the concentration of electrolytes in extracellular fluids. Receptors can also be classified by structure, dividing sensory receptors into either those with free nerve endings or those with encapsulated nerve endings. Free nerve endings are the most widely distributed sensory receptor. They include both exteroceptors and visceroceptors. Called nociceptors, they are the primary receptors for pain and heat and cold. Additionally, they are responsible for pain sensations, including acute fibers that mediate sharp, intense, and localized pain. Chronic fibers mediate less intense but more persistent dull or aching pain. They also receive tactile sensations such as skin movement, itch, tickle, and discriminative touch through root hair plexuses and tactile Merkel discs. Encapsulated nerve endings all have connective tissue capsules and are mechanoreceptors. There are six types. Touch and pressure receptors operate through tactile or Meissner corpuscle. Relatively large and superficial emplacement, they mediate touch and low-frequency vibration. There are large numbers in hairless skin areas, such as nipples, fingertips, and lips. There are two anatomical variations of tactile corpuscle. Bulboid corpuscle, or Krauss end bulbs, are small, with less tightly coiled dendritic endings within their capsule. They are involved in touch and low-frequency vibrations. bulbous or Ruffini corpuscles, have a flattened capsule and are deeply located in the dermis. They mediate crude and persistent touch and may be secondary temperature receptors for heat for ranges from 85 degrees to 120 degrees Fahrenheit or 29 degrees to 49 degrees Celsius. Lamellar or Pacini corpuscles are large mechanoreceptors that respond quickly to sensations of deep pressure, high-frequency vibration, and stretch. They are found in deep dermis and in joint capsules. They adapt quickly, and sensations they evoke seldom last for long periods. Stretch receptors operate to provide body with information concerning muscle length and strength of muscle contraction. There are two types. Muscle spindle is composed of 5 to 10 intrafusal fibers lying between and parallel to regular extrafusal muscle fibers. Large diameter and rapid conducting type 1A and smaller diameter and slower conducting type 2 afferent fibers carry messages to the brain concerning changes in muscle length. If the length of a muscle exceeds a certain limit, a stretch reflex is initiated to shorten the muscle, thus helping to maintain posture. Golgi tendon organs, located at the junction between muscle tissue and tendon, are made up of encapsulated neuron endings associated with collagen bundles. Type 1B sensory neurons, or Golgi tendon receptors, are stimulated by excessive contraction. When stimulated, they cause muscles to relax. Golgi tendon reflex protects muscle from tearing internally because of excessive contractile force. Sense of smell. Olfactory sense organs consist of epithelial support cells and olfactory sensory neurons. Olfactory cilia are located on olfactory sensory neurons that touch the olfactory epithelium lining the upper surface of the nasal cavity. Olfactory cells are chemoreceptors, which are stimulated by gas molecules or chemicals dissolved in the mucus that cover the nasal epithelium. Olfactory epithelium is located in the most superior portion of the nasal cavity. Olfactory receptors are extremely sensitive and easily fatigued. In the olfactory pathway, when the level of odor-producing chemicals reaches a threshold level, a receptor potential and then action potential are generated and passed to the olfactory nerves in the olfactory bulb. The impulse then passes through the olfactory tract and into the thalamic and olfactory centers of the brain for interpretation, integration, and memory storage. Sense of taste. Taste buds are sense organs that respond to gustatory or taste stimuli. They are associated with papillae. They are chemoreceptors that are stimulated by chemicals dissolved in the saliva. Gustatory cells are sensory cells in taste buds. Gustatory hairs extend from each gustatory cell into the taste pore. Sense of taste depends on the creation of a receptor potential in gustatory cells because of taste-producing chemicals in the saliva. Taste buds are similar structurally. Functionally, each taste bud responds most effectively to one of five primary taste sensations: sour, sweet, bitter, umami, salty, and perhaps others, such as metallic. Adaptation and sensitivity thresholds differ for each of the primary taste sensations. The neural pathway for taste involves the following. A taste sensation begins with a receptor potential in the gustatory cells of a taste bud. The generation and propagation of an action potential then transmits the sensory input to the brain. Nerve impulses from the anterior two-thirds of the tongue travel over the facial nerve. Those from the posterior one-third of the tongue travel over the glossopharyngeal nerve. The vagus nerve plays a minor role in taste. Nerve impulses are carried to the medulla oblongata, relayed into the thalamus, and then relayed into the gustatory area of the cerebral cortex in the parietal lobe of the brain. Senses of hearing and balance. The ear. The external ear has two divisions: the auricle or pinna, which is the visible portion of the ear, and the external acoustic meatus, a tube leading from the auricle into the temporal bone and ending at the tympanic membrane. The middle ear is a tiny epithelium-lined cavity, hollowed out of the temporal bone, containing three auditory ossicles. The malleus, or hammer, is attached to the inner surface of the tympanic membrane. The incus, or anvil, is attached to the malleus and stapes, and the stapes, or stirrup, attached to the incus. Openings into the middle ear cavity include an opening from the external acoustic meatus covered with tympanic membrane. The oval window is the opening into inner ear, where the stapes fits. The round window is the opening into the inner ear, covered by a membrane. There is a third opening into the auditory or eustachian tube. The inner ear includes a number of structures. The bony labyrinth, made up of the vestibule, cochlea, and semicircular canals. The membranous labyrinth, made up of the utricle and saccule inside the vestibule, cochlear duct inside the cochlea, and membranous semicircular ducts inside the bony semicircular canals. The vestibule and semicircular canal organs are involved with balance. The cochlea is involved with hearing. The endolymph is clear, potassium-rich fluid filling the membranous labyrinth. The paralymph, similar to cerebrospinal fluid, surrounds the membranous labyrinth, filling the space between the membranous tunnel and its contents and the bony walls that surround it. The cochlea is the bony labyrinth of the ear. The modialis is a cone-shaped core of bone that houses the spiral ganglion, which consists of cell bodies of the first sensory neurons in the auditory relay. The cochlear duct lies inside the cochlea, with only part of the internal ear concerned with hearing. It contains endolymph and is shaped like a triangular tube. It divides the cochlea into the scala vestibuli, the upper section, and the scala tympani, the lower section. Both sections are filled with paralymph. The vestibular membrane is at the roof of the cochlear duct. Basilar or spiral membrane is at the floor of the cochlear duct. The organ of Corti rests on the basilar membrane and consists of supporting cells and hair cells. It is also called the spiral organ. Axons and neurons that begin around the organ of Corti extend in the cochlear nerve to the brain to produce the sensation of hearing. The hearing sense is created by the vibrations we call sound. The ability to hear sound waves depends on volume, pitch, and other acoustic properties. Sound waves must be of sufficient amplitude to move the tympanic membrane and have a frequency capable of stimulating the hair cells in the organ of Corti, the spiral organ. Basilar membrane width and thickness varies throughout its length. High-frequency sound waves vibrate the narrow portion near the oval window. Low frequencies vibrate the wider, thicker portion near the apex of the cochlea. Each frequency stimulates different hair cells and facilitates perception of different pitches. Perception of loudness is determined by movement amplitude, where the greater the movement, the louder the perceived sound. Hearing results from stimulation of the auditory area of the cerebral cortex. Sound waves enter the external auditory canal and strike the tympanic membrane, causing vibrations. Tympanic vibrations move the malleus, which in turn moves the incus and then the stapes. The stapes moves against the oval window, which begins the fluid conduction of sound waves. The paralymph in the scala vestibuli of the cochlea begins a ripple that is transmitted through the vestibular membrane to the endolymph inside the duct, to the basilar membrane, and then to the organ of Corti. From the basilar membrane, the ripple is transmitted through the paralymph in the scala tympani and then expends itself against the round window. The neural pathway of hearing involves the movement of hair cells against the tectorial membrane, stimulating the dendrites that terminate around the base of the hair cells and initiating impulse conduction by the cochlear nerve to the brainstem. Impulses pass through relay stations in the nuclei in the medulla, pons, midbrain, and thalamus before reaching the auditory area of the temporal lobe. The vestibule is the central section of the bony labyrinth. The utricle and saccule are the membranous structures within the vestibule. Three semicircular canals are found in each temporal bone. Each canal is at a right angle to the other. They are membranous semicircular ducts within the canals. Each contain endolymph and connects with the utricle. Each canal enlarges into an ampulla near the junction with the utricle. The sense of balance is determined by both static and dynamic equilibrium. Static equilibrium is the ability to sense the position of the head relative to gravity or to sense acceleration or deceleration. Movements of the maculae, located in both the utricle and saccule, almost at right angles to each other, provide information related to head position or acceleration. Otoliths are located within the matrix of the macula. Changing head position produces a change of pressure on the otolith-weighted matrix, which stimulates the hair cells that in turn stimulate the receptors of the vestibular nerve. Vestibular nerve fibers conduct impulses to the brain and produce a sensation of the position of the head and also a sensation of a change in the pull of gravity. Righting reflexes are muscular responses that restore the body and its parts to their normal position when they have been displaced. They are caused by stimuli of the macula and impulses from proprioceptors and from the eyes. Dynamic equilibrium is needed to maintain balance when the head or body is rotated or suddenly moved, able to detect changes both in direction and rate at which movement occurs. It depends on the functioning of the crista ampullaris, which are located in the ampulla of each semicircular duct. The cupula is the gelatinous cap in which the hair cells of each crista are embedded. It does not respond to gravity and moves with the flow of endolymph in the semicircular ducts. Semicircular ducts are arranged in nearly right angles to each other to detect movement in all directions. Hair cells bend as the cupula moves, producing a receptor potential followed by an action potential. Action potential passes through the vestibular portion of the eighth cranial nerve to the medulla oblongata, and then is sent next to other areas of the brain and spinal cord for interpretation, integration, and response. Vision, the eye. A variety of structures make up the eye, including accessory structures, muscles, layers of the eyeball, cavities, and humors. In the accessory structures, eyebrows and eyelashes give some protection against foreign objects entering the eye. They also serve cosmetic purposes. Eyelids consist of voluntary muscle and skin with a tarsal plate and are lined with conjunctiva, a mucous membrane. The palpebral fissure is the opening between the eyelids. The angle, or canthus, is the location where the upper and lower eyelids join. Lacrimal apparatus are structures that secrete tears and drain them from the surface of the eyeball. Lacrimal glands are the size and shape of a small almond and are located at the upper outer margin of each orbit. Approximately a dozen small ducts lead from each gland. They drain tears onto the conjunctiva. Lacrimal canals are small channels that empty into lacrimal sacs. Lacrimal sacs are located in a groove in the lacrimal bone. Nasolacrimal ducts are small tubes that extend from the lacrimal sac into the inferior meatus of the nose. There are both extrinsic and intrinsic muscles in the eye. The extrinsic eye muscles are skeletal muscles that attach to the outside of the eyeball and to the bones of the orbit. They are named according to their position on the eyeball. They include the superior, inferior, medial, and lateral rectus muscles, and superior and inferior oblique muscles. Intrinsic eye muscles are smooth muscles located within the eye. They control the iris, which regulates the size of the pupil. The ciliary muscle controls the shape of the lens. There are three coats of tissues that compose the eyeball. The fibrous layer makes up the outer coat. It consists of sclera, which is a tough, white, fibrous tissue in the cornea, the transparent anterior portion that lies over the iris with no blood vessels found in the cornea or in the lens, and the scleral venous sinus, also known as the canal of Schlemm, which is a ring-shaped venous sinus found deep within the anterior portion of the sclera at its junction with the cornea. The vascular layer is the middle coat. It contains many blood vessels and a large amount of pigment. Choroid is a pigmented membrane lining more than two-thirds of the posterior fibrous outer coat. The anterior portion has three different structures. The ciliary body, a thickening of choroid, fits between anterior margin of the retina and the posterior margin of the iris. The ciliary muscle lies in anterior part of the ciliary body. Ciliary processes are folds in the ciliary body. The suspensory ligament is attached to the ciliary processes and blends with the elastic capsule of the lens to hold it in place. The iris is the colored part of the eye. It consists of circular and radial smooth muscle fibers that form a donut-shaped structure that attaches to the ciliary body. The inner layer is an incomplete innermost coat of the eyeball. The retina is made up of an outer layer of pigmented epithelium, or pigmented retina, and an inner layer of nervous tissue, the sensory retina. Three layers of neurons make up the sensory retina. Photoreceptor cells are visual receptors, sensitive to light rays. Rods, which are absent from the fovea and macula and increase in density toward the periphery of the retina, and cones, which are less numerous than rods and are the most densely concentrated in the fovea centralis in the macula lutea. Bipolar cells, ganglionic cells, in which all axons of these neurons extend back to the optic disc. They are part of the sclera, which contains perforations through which the fibers emerge from the eyeball as the optic nerve. Horizontal and amacrine cells allow lateral connections within the sensory retina. The optic nerve is the second cranial nerve, CN2, which extends from the eyeball to the brain. Retinal blood vessels are critical to normal visual function. The cavities of the eyeball have a large interior space divided into two cavities. The anterior cavity lies in front of the lens and has two subdivisions. The anterior chamber has space anterior to the iris and posterior to the cornea, while the posterior chamber is a small space posterior to the iris and anterior to the lens. The posterior cavity is larger than the anterior cavity and occupies all the space posterior to the lens, suspensory ligament, and ciliary body. There are two humors, the aqueous humor, which fills both chambers of the anterior cavity. It is a clear, watery fluid that often leaks out when the eye is injured and is formed from blood and capillaries located in the ciliary body. The vitreous humor, a semi-solid material, fills the posterior cavity, which helps to maintain sufficient intraocular pressure, along with aqueous humor, to give the eyeball its shape. In the process of seeing, the formation of a retinal image involves the refraction of light rays, deflection or bending of light rays produced by light rays passing obliquely from one transparent medium into another of different optical density. Cornea, aqueous humor, lens, and vitreous humor are the refracting media of the eye. Accommodation of the lens increases the curvature of the lens to achieve the greater refraction needed for near vision. The constriction of pupil involves muscles of the iris important to formation of a clear retinal image. Pupil constriction prevents divergent light rays from entering eye through the periphery of the cornea and lens. Near reflex is the constriction of the pupil that occurs with accommodation of the lens in near vision. The photopupil reflex occurs when the pupil constricts in bright light. The convergence of the eyes involves the movement of the two eyeballs inward so that their visual axes come together at the object viewed. The closer the object, the greater the degree of convergence necessary to maintain single vision. For convergence to occur, a functional balance between antagonistic extrinsic muscles must exist. Strabismus is an abnormal convergence. Photopigments are light-sensitive pigmented compounds that undergo structural changes, resulting in the generation of nerve impulses, which are interpreted by the brain as sight. The photopigment in rods is rhodopsin, which is highly light-sensitive and breaks down into opsin and retinal. The separation of opsin and retinal in the presence of light causes an action potential in rod cells. Energy is needed to reform rhodopsin. Three types of cones are present in the retina, with each having a different variation of the rhodopsin photopigment: blue, S cones, green, M cones, and red, L cones. The perception of a large variety of colors results from the combination of signals from different cone types. Cone pigments are less light sensitive than rhodopsin and need brighter light to break down. Ganglion cells relay information from rods and cones by way of the bipolar cells, but also relay non-image light information to the body's biological clock. The photopigment is melanopsin. In the neural pathway of vision, fibers that conduct impulses from the rods and cones reach the visual cortex in the occipital lobes by way of the optic nerves, optic chiasma, optic tracts, and optic radiations. The optic nerve contains fibers from only one retina, but the optic chiasma contains fibers from the nasal portion of both retinas. These anatomical facts explain peculiar visual abnormalities that sometimes occur. Cycle of life. Sense organs. Sensory information is acquired through depolarization of sensory nerve endings. Age, disease, structural defects, or lack of maturation affects ability to identify and respond. Structure and function response capabilities are related to developmental factors associated with age. Senses become more acute with maturation. Sensory capability decreases in old age related to structural changes in receptor cells or other sense organ structures.